All right. Good morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Rich Orris, your go-to guy for all things home maintenance and remodeling. And whether you've got a leaky faucet, something simple, a drafty window, or you're thinking about a giant full home renovation, I am here today to help you. We've got a whole hour ahead of us. If you've got a question, you can give me a call, 314-436-7900, and let's talk about it. How to make your home the best it can be, from very simple fixes to major remodels. No questions too big or too small. So get comfortable, settle in. Let's dive in to some home improvement challenges today, because your home and yourself deserve the best. And let's see if we can help everybody achieve that as we roll through here and have some conversations and talk about some different topics and hopefully maybe some tips and some things you could do around your house. And we'll see what we could do to help you out today. But again, remember, this show is all about your concerns, your questions, your topics, the things that you need to find out about and talk about. Again, give me a shout here. We've got a full hour for you, 314-436-7900. And I kind of came up with something to maybe start off with when I was having a conversation yesterday with one of the other employees at Mosby Building Arts, one of our assistant designers. And we were actually, it was funny because we were talking about Billy Joel and how we both really like Billy Joel and we've seen a lot of concert shows. So I was telling her this funny story about my wife. Even I think we might have even, if we were married, it was, we were just married, or maybe it was a year before we got married or something. But she took my Billy Joel Elton John concert t-shirt and she put it on her sister's dog, this big like lab dog, and the dog's walking around with my shirt. So just all is fun. I took her blanket that her grandmother made her, that she's had her entire life, and I hid it. So I'm getting the shirt back. She's going around looking for this blanket, and she slept with this every day for her entire life. And I'm kind of laughing at her because I'm like, hey, don't forget, I know how to build a house, so you can just quit looking. You will never find it. Like, it's literally inside of a wall or a ceiling. Like, good luck with that. And so eventually it was all good fun and got it back and everything. But it kind of reminded me of some tricks about hiding a spare key to your house around your home, around the outside of the home. Obviously, most people know and understand under the mat, under the flower pot, to the side of the door, all these simple things that we used to always do. And so there's some really, really good kind of newer tricks out there for hiding a spare key. And one of them is kind of in the landscape there around your kind of front door or whatever door you want it to be near, is you take a pill bottle, put the key in the pill bottle, and then you glue a pine cone to the bottom of this pill bottle. And then you bury the pill bottle just up to the pine cone, and it's a pine cone sitting in your landscape that you can grab, pull out, get to a key in the event of an emergency. You can use a plastic drain cap, like a fake drain, or maybe just some kind of rock would work. Another one I really, really liked was a door knocker. So if you have a steel door, and a lot of our doors here in homes around and doors being installed around St. Louis are steel doors. So magnets will stick. So you can buy a door knocker. Don't screw it through the door like you normally would and attach it and everything, but you glue magnets inside this door knocker, put the key inside the back of the door knocker, and just stick that to your steel door, and it's right there where you need it. And most time that's screwed on and attached and, you know, generally not going anywhere. Another one is a fake outdoor outlet. So you buy just kind of one of those outdoor outlet covers with the flip lid. Only take the actual cover and the lid, screw it to your siding. Nothing's behind it but siding, but you could open that door, stick your key in it, put it down, and there you go. You've got a key there. And another good trick that I really liked about this, and it depends a little bit because we've always talked about it, you know, how well you know your neighbors, and maybe you'll leave a key with a neighbor if you're close enough with them and everything. But another thing you could do is just ask them if you could hide the key, kind of like the pine cone thing or something, on their property, or like kind of the outside edge of their landscaping towards your house. Basically, if someone else found it, they would assume it should go to the house that they're at and wouldn't even work for them. So if you swap that with each house, then that would be kind of cool, because then they don't know which house to go to. The key doesn't work the house, and it doesn't help even if they found it. So that's another clever idea for where you can kind of put that stuff. And if you have anything you want to hide inside your house, you want to look at some builder grade quality hiding spots to put something, again, feel free to give me a call. Maybe we talk about it right here on the air. We've got plenty to do today, plenty of time for everybody. Remember again, 314-436-7900 finds me. I think we're going to get into our first break, and we'll have some more topics for you. Maybe we'll get some conversations going when we come back right after this. All right, guys. Anthony works in the grocery store, right? Oh, man. Thanks, Drew. I appreciate the Billy Joel there. been a fan for a long, long time. With the other thing we were talking about and thinking about the cost of everything, as I was having this conversation, my designer was like, "Oh, did you see him the last time he came?" And I said, "Well, we had a big debate about it because it's like $300 a person." So I'm like, you know, it's funny that I went to a lot more concerts when I had a lot less money because they were $12. And now you get to some of these really good ones you'd like to see. So I said, we kind of have to pick and choose and only do so many just because of that cost. And that, again, very similar situation. Every situation in our lives is really that situation. It's kind of like what everybody's told you your whole life. It's not what you have, it's what you do with it. And so making those decisions, and that's something that in our industry, in the remodeling industry, we have to think about, we have to talk about. I would ask everybody out there, something that we try and do here at Mosby Building Arts very well is kind of be a financial advisor, not necessarily like how to build your retirement, but what works and what really can make sense in your house and your projects and what you're getting for the money and all those different avenues of how projects come together. And of course, I've talked a lot on this show about the return on investment of a project, of a home, of going through that. And if you're really, really concerned about return on investment, if you're really concerned that I want to make sure I make some sort of profit after going through all this and selling my house. Well, these questions are really kind of not just up to the individuals, but each individual situation is so, so different in terms of how long do you plan on staying there and all these different decisions. And you also, that financial kind of advisor part two is the quality, the maintenance, the other things that come into play later on in trying to figure out, okay, what do you spend more now? And it seems like, wow, that's really expensive. But I'm getting things that I'm not going to have to spend money on performing maintenance later on, year after year, or I'm getting quality that will last. I mean, that is a big important factor in all of this too. And unfortunately, if you're staying for a year or two, then and you want to do something and you're concerned about getting the investments back on a property, then you're pretty much a house flipper. You're going to have to find just the absolute least expensive labor, materials, all the stuff, and then you got to do it quick because a lot of that will only last so long or will only look good for so long. So when we're doing a project here and we're advising some of these things, we can still advise that type of situation, and that's perfectly fine if that's the situation that you're in and what you're trying to accomplish. But for the most part, most clients are they're looking for that longevity. They're looking to be there a little longer span, and they're really looking for that quality that can kind of help and really keep that investment in place for them. So you're looking further down the road at when you're trying to get anything out of your house or out of your project, which is good and which is a helpful situation to have time for the market to grow and change and for the value to go up some and really get you in a better position from what you've done. So the here and the now and the quick is definitely a lot harder for that. And there's more that you're purchasing in a project, especially when you're getting a really good one with really great quality and great service and everything that comes with it. We often talk about the three items that everybody's looking for in a remodeling project when they're working on a house, when they're fixing their house. And everybody wants, you know, they say the same thing. We want really good service from the company that we pick. We want really, really great quality, and we want a good low price. We want a good price so that we can afford to do that. And those three things are hard to have in the same situation, but it definitely makes me feel good when I see a client that we've done a lot of work for, that we've been doing work for 15 years or so, and they sold their house and they moved to a different house and they call us again. And their comment to me is, you know, what was really great about the kitchen you did for us is not only was that kitchen 15 years old, but it looked as good as the day that you put it in, and it sold the house. It totally helped sell that house being something that was good, that was nice, that no one had to mess with. And it was 15 years old. And when you look at everything today, what stuff lasts, all of that, appliances, I mean, you look at the life expectancy of the appliances we put in, and they're not even saying they're going to last that 15 years. But trying to pick some better things and put it in a really, really good way. I had another client years back that they had sold their house in Webster Groves and they had moved into a smaller kind of duplex type setting where they didn't have to work on the outside and all of that. So kind of like a villa type deal. And when I went to meet with them and talk about some projects at their house, and we ended up putting in some new windows at their new place, and they were talking about their old house and selling their old house in Webster Groves. It was a really nice, very big house, and we had remodeled here at Mosby every bathroom in that house, all of them, the powder room, the hall, it was like four bathrooms in this big master bath that was just redesigned. And what a great project that master bath was. And she had said to me, her comment that I really enjoyed was, we got a gargantuan amount of money for our home because of that master bathroom and all those bathrooms. Everybody loved them. It was just good to go. It had been years, but it's still great quality. So there's really some good importance in all of that, in building lasting value so that you have something that you're not going to have to redo. You're not going to have to worry about if it doesn't last, or if I mean, I've literally seen jobs right away that we're redoing that they are not very old at all. And it's just the thought through it, the picking of the stuff, the quality of some of it, and then the quality of how some of this is put together. I've got a bathroom right now that we're redoing the shower and basically the floor, and the rest of the stuff is all pretty new. The whole bathroom is literally like 8-9 years old, something like that. And we're looking at the walls, and he's like, well, when you go to paint, can you kind of fix some of this stuff? Because the last company that did it, like, it used to have the big mirror that went across the vanity and behind the toilet. So it was kind of like 5-foot, 6-foot mirror. And when they took that down and they did the smaller mirror right over the 36-inch vanity and made that all real nice, you can completely see where that old mirror was on that wall. All the little marks and where they had painted around it for years. And you can just totally look at it and go, yep, there used to be a bigger mirror there. And they're like, can you take care of that? Well, absolutely. I'll put that in there. We'll do some skim coating. And that's the value of having a good detailed scope that talks about that stuff, that says we are going to fix that. So you're not questioning that later, or once they get done painting, you go, why didn't you fix that? Oh, we never had nothing in there for that. And now we're done. See you later. Have a nice day. So they've been living with this 8-9 year bathroom looking at the wall where the mirror used to be. So it's unfortunate, but it's the other half of what happens out there. So not thinking and not going in on the quality of every step. And I'm sure it was probably a subcontracted paint company that the painters just came in and they were contracted to paint. We're not here to re-drywall. We're not here to fix walls. We're not here to make them smooth. We're applying paint. And if they wanted something different, they should have told us and paid us. And that's the unfortunate side of how some of those things can happen and end up in the end. So just know that and consider all of that when you're looking at having work done. What kind of deliverables are you getting? What kind of information are you getting? How sure are you that the things are good, that they're going to last? Have you talked about lasting value in some of the different products and how they get installed? And have you spoken about what's behind them? That's another biggie of what are you putting behind that? That product might not be a bad product, but if you're just putting normal drywall and you're not doing the best thing behind it, it diminishes that lasting value for you. Everything is as good as its base. If you think about that theory, what's behind tile, what's underneath the concrete, what's underneath the asphalt, what are the soil conditions of planting a bush, a shrub, or a tree? You get a beautiful looking tree and plant it, and if you got poor soil conditions, it's just not going to last. That's the base, a roof over a roof. That's why we really don't see that so often anymore. Not a lot of companies even offer a roof recover because they get into the fact where they just don't last that long. 10 years, you need another roof. 10, 12, 14 years. So people are starting to learn, hopefully starting to stay in their houses a little longer and really starting to see the value in getting that performed better off these days and really having good quality so that they can last and survive there. So, hey, we're going to get into our middle hour break here. We'll have plenty more for you, but if there's anything you need, do not forget I'm right here for you. I can help you out. I can answer whatever you need all about the house inside and out. 314-436-7900 is where you'll find me. And maybe we'll get some conversations going after these messages. All right, everybody, we are back. Remember, we got plenty of time for y'all, so feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. Anything you need about your house, that's how you get to me. And Tim came in and found me here. So, hey, Tim, are you there? What's going on?
Yeah, hey, how do you fight stink bugs and their infestation?
That's an interesting one. Keeping them out of the home is kind of your basic outdoor kind of look around the house activities is try and find where they could be coming through, sealing cracks and gaps and install, making sure your screens are installed. Screens are good, so they're not getting in through the screens around the window, and then closing off any kind of spaces or screening behind any kind of venting, like in the attic, and anywhere like that. The band board around the house inside the basement is very important. But as far as fighting them and removing them, are you trying to fight them from inside the house?
No. Well, occasionally they get in. Occasionally. Okay.
But there's a bunch around the outside?
In. Oh, yeah. They're, like, hanging off the gutters. It seems like they're always on the east side of the house and the north end of the house in the late afternoons. Like, yeah. I don't know if... There's got to be some kind of logic as to why they're doing it. But the north end of the house is probably the worst. There's a patio slider on the north end. And, man, every time you open up the patio slider, they seem to drop off the track. And then they find a way to get in when the door is open. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as is inside, of course, sticky traps – are good for them. And then there's also the theory I've heard from a lot of listeners too, of like doing a light over a bowl of like soapy water, that they'll kind of be attracted to the light and fall into the soapy water and kind of collect them that way. Outside, I have heard that there's some like essential oils that they don't like peppermint oil. And so using some like peppermint oil, essential oils around the house or maybe around like that door. I'd be interested to know how well it works, but if that keeps them away, I have heard that. And garlic spray, like the smell of garlic apparently is kind of the same as some of those essential oils to keep them away. Where do they come from?
Yeah.
Well, that I really don't know. Like, why one area would have more than the other. I honestly don't have an answer for that. And, of course, the ultimate answer would really be to get with, a professional to say, hey, this is the actual issue I'm having. What do you spray? What do you do? How do you address it when they know what they're after? You get with a company like Holper's Animal and Pest Control, and they can, obviously they'll have solutions that you could pay them for. But as far as the background, where they come from, why they're in certain areas than others, I don't really have a lot of information on at this point.
I'm just wondering if we live along Route 159 in Illinois, and there's a lot of farm fields around. So I'm wondering if they come from the farming areas, and that's, you know, like the farm fields that freshly cultivated.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it stirs up, you know, where they hibernate there during the wintertime. I'm just at a loss because sometimes it's like you look down the east side of the house and there's hundreds of them. Like, golly, where are these?
Yeah. Yeah, I could say I've seen them all over, but not. I mean, we definitely have them out in O'Fallon, Missouri, and St. Charles and stuff by me. But I wouldn't call what I see on a regular basis around us like an infestation. I don't have hundreds of them climbing all over the side of the house in the gutter and really that sort of thing. But I know sometimes it can be, well, kind of like a timing thing too, of the timing of when they're when they come out, kind of like the cicadas have the year thing and all that. Because I've also seen like big ladybug, like a ladybug infestation, but it's not always the same time. And so I'm sure there's times of different years and different settings that create more of that. And I always lean towards Holper's Pest Control to really help out and answer that and do the bug spraying for me and all of that to help keep that stuff away. So maybe that's why I don't see infestations either. They're getting more taken care of and all of that up front. But yeah, we've got, I do want to remind everybody though, hey, we got more going on. We got more we can talk about. We do have plenty of time for you. Again, if you have something like that, like Tim had, awesome. Bring it up. Let's have a conversation about it and see what we know. You can find me at 314-436-7900. We got a lot going on that we can do. We are getting close to the wire. I think I'll take my break a little bit early to leave a little more time in the last segment in case we get some calls there. We'll have some time for a person or two for you. So we'll get into a break, and then we'll have more conversations, more topics, and more home improvement for you. Oh, that's awesome. Hey, we are back. Rich Orris here, Home Improvement Show. Drew is so good at picking all the different music and the stuff. You have a conversation during the break, and then he throws in exactly what you were talking about. I do appreciate that. That's awesome. But hey, anyways, hey, I wanted to get something, so don't blame me, but I was going to try and help maybe answer a little bit of Tim's stuff. So a little Google, a little AI on the stink bugs. And so apparently they originally came from East Asia and came over into the United States in the 90s, and now they're spreading across North America. I did not realize that. I would have swore there was stink bugs before the 90s, but I guess you don't really pay much attention to that when you're pretty young, what type of bugs you have and everything. But it does say that they are a real problem for crops and fruits, vegetables, and any kind of plants. They're apparently an agricultural pest that's prop. So I would think you absolutely probably have more of them if you are near some farming plants that they want to get their hands on. So there you go, Tim. Hopefully that helps you out, and hopefully Google knows what it's talking about. I always try and warn and caution everybody, especially when you're looking for information about your house. And typically when you do watch videos, you see how people build things, you search on Google about a home and how can I do this or that, and you do have to be very careful, because a lot of this is where you're at, the areas that you're at. So different types of products and different ways to perform work, especially from the outside, and especially how you handle temperatures and how you handle moisture and moisture vapor and everything else that can affect a house. You have to tread very lightly on what kind of information you find online, because what works in Arizona or California absolutely may not work right here in St. Louis, and it may not work in your area also, because when you look at how to perform work and the local codes and how a lot of things are and how we build in different areas, the ground moves differently, the frost lines are different, there's all these conditions that you got to be very, very careful of. So I would feel more confident that Google can drum up a lot of information on stink bugs. It's going to probably be fairly accurate. But when you get into how deep should I dig down for something to support something, or it does become a little different in all the areas. And there's other rules and regulations that some areas might not be accommodating to, or it even maybe it doesn't matter there, so they can figure something out and go, this would be really cool, and here's how I would do this here. And then you look at it for our area, but the municipality says, well, absolutely not, because we have rules and regulations that say on your property, so much of that has to be able to absorb water. You have to have a certain amount of area of green space on your property so that we're not damaging other areas, other properties around us. We're not running off too much water off the ground instead of being able to soak any of it in. And then when you start to minimize how much absorbent land or green space that you have, then they'll start to come in and enforce collection systems and types of plants that you can run a lot of water to that will absorb the water. And those municipalities will make us do things to control that water. I mean, I could have so many examples, but I did have a job I looked at. It was years ago. It was 10 years ago or so. And this client had brought in an architect from California that was kind of a TV show kind of personality, did a lot of outdoor landscaping and outdoor house projects for a TV show based in California, came here and got paid to design all this stuff on the front of this house, and basically just designed a bunch of stuff that you could not do in our area or wasn't correct for how far you needed to dig down and the things you needed to do. And it ended up that there just wasn't enough green space on the property to do everything that they wanted to do. And so the municipality just, they couldn't do it. They're like, you just got to get rid of some of that driveway. You got to change some of this. You just can't have that much hard surface that's going to just run water away. And so literally went through all that and ended up not being able to perform any of the work whatsoever. I just had another one last year that we were looking at. It's got this giant barn on the property, and we're looking at putting in a smaller garage and taking that down and doing a garage that's quite a bit smaller than the barn. Of course, the municipality is like, how are you going to control water? And I'm like, well, but the water, you know, to logical sense said the water's going to be better because I'm minimizing the type of hard space area that it used to have. So if it's worked and this barn is 100 years old, that's been fine for 100 years. If I make a structure that's smaller, logic would say it's just going to be fine. Don't worry about it. But absolutely not. This is the new rules. So we have to investigate it, do the calculations, and come up with a way to mitigate the water for the size of the structure that we're building, regardless of what was there before, how big, how small, any of that. So it really is what it is. You kind of got to go through this, all these phases and stages and processes in order to get to build things properly right for that municipality. So again, watching what you're doing online and the information that you're finding out about a house may work really well in an area that's always between 70 and 80 something degrees and never really gets down to freezing all the time or different things. And even someone that does all this work, I would absolutely be the same way. I know a lot about houses, and I've been in the St. Louis area my entire life. And then you send me up to Canada or you send me down to Florida, and I'm going to know a lot less about what's happening as far as foundations and in the ground and all this different ways of building. And I love seeing in Florida, I'm watching them build a property, and I'm looking at it. They're digging down into like the sand for this foundation they're literally down like 16 inches. I'm just looking at it going, oh, wow. See, that's just absolutely amazing. And how much easier is that than what we have to do a lot of times in order to keep something there and to support it and all of that. So, but then they have a whole nother different set of concerns when it comes to rain and hurricanes and all the type of weather that they can get really changes up a lot of, and we've taken on a lot of their practices here in St. Louis just to really create that lasting value and have a house that's dried in, because we can get the same type of weather, just not as hard or not as often, but it can still have the same kind of blow everything behind the siding result that can tear a house down. So, hey, remember, just be careful what you're searching, what you're finding, and ask for some good professional advice in your area about what's happening. But hey, we're out of time. Had a good time. I want to thank Tim for calling in and remind everybody out there, just be good. Be good to each other. Be good to your homes. And I will look forward to talking to everybody next week.